Thank you for tuning in. My name is Nella, and welcome to my podcast, Ethereality. Today, we will be hearing a near-death experience story from Sylvia Pollock. This story has so many facets to explore. Two of her family members were brutally murdered, which led to a decade-long spiral. She was diagnosed with a very serious health condition. The doctors attempted to treat the condition, but it led to some adverse effects, which prompted Sylvia's near-death experience, where on the other side, she was reunited with her family members that had been murdered. After returning to her body, Sylvia discovered she had a spontaneous healing. She also brought back with her some interesting, verifiable information. This whole experience has profoundly reshaped her perspective and approach to life. Sylvia, thank you so much for being here. Why don't you start by sharing the unfortunate event that was really the beginning of your whole story?
So my story begins in 2005. My father and sister-in-law were murdered in a botched robbery in their home. My father-in-law was a pastor of a Lutheran church, a big congregation on the northwest side of Chicago. And my sister-in-law was 24 years old. She had just graduated college. She was starting a teaching position. She was home for the summer. She had stopped home to let out the dog and to give him a treat. And when she stopped home, she interrupted a robbery in her home. They had a couple who was cleaning for them for about 6 years, and that was a man and woman, and the woman was out of town. The man had planned the robbery. He thought no one would be home because she had just like come home from college. He was in there robbing the house. She interrupted him. He beat her up, tied her up, I guess kept her for hours. My father-in-law came home, and the murderer at that time killed them both brutally. The thing is, like, my father-in-law was the most wonderful person you can ever imagine. Like, you know, he was the pastor, he seriously like loved everyone, was giving, visited at his congregation in the hospital. That morning he was at Bible study. My sister-in-law, she was like, I can't explain to you that they were the most wonderful people I've known, really. She loved kids. She helped tutored a learning disabled boy that morning. She stopped home before getting her nails done just to let the dog out. And the way that they were murdered was so brutal. When we identified the bodies, like, you can't even believe somebody would do that to another person, let alone them, you know? The whole thing was very, very traumatic for myself and my family. He had set the house on fire to cover up the murders, but they were able to collect a lot of the evidence. They were able to find out who it was, but it was like a high profile case because of how popular my father-in-law was in the city of Chicago. And she was like young and beautiful. And I don't know, the media really picked it up. We had reporters outside our house. We had press conferences. We were like on the front page of every newspaper. You couldn't like turn on the TV without seeing their faces on there. And it was just, you know, it's like being in a movie. Can't believe it's happening to you. You know what I mean? They grabbed us. They interrogated us. I don't know. Just like a really traumatic experience for all of us. My mother-in-law came to live at our house because her house was destroyed. And over time, they found out who it was. And he ended up reaching a plea deal so he wouldn't get the death penalty and confess to the murders. You know, it was traumatizing for the whole family. But for me, it completely destroyed my whole belief system, because I really was like that kind of person who believes everything happens for a reason, even the hard stuff, or, you know, that's because it got you where you were and because you learned this lesson or you wouldn't have met that. Like, that's how I thought. I couldn't wrap my mind around it, that God would let that happen, or, you know, the universe, or I had like instances in my life where somebody saved my life in the nick of time, or I always thought like somebody looking out for us, you know, and I just couldn't believe that these wonderful people got killed like that. And I just couldn't believe that there's a God, or it just all felt so random, and life felt very scary. Like anything could happen. Like, look at that. You're going to get your nails done. You stop to let your puppy out and you get killed at 24 years old, you know, and it's like the middle of the day, you know, it's not like you're in a dangerous neighborhood, you know, in your home. I lost how I perceived the world, what I expected in the world and out of life. If you're a good person, good things are going to happen, because that's what I believed. You know, if you treat people well, you know, you're going to, life will be good to you. And I just lost that belief, you know?
I can see how that would be the result of that. I mean, it is really just unfathomable.
Yeah.
So how did you wrap your mind around that? How did you like integrate that?
It's unintentional when like any new information or new things happen in my life, it like runs through kind of this complicated belief system that I have, you know, anything could happen. And I really started to like be more afraid with my husband. I became pregnant like a year later with my son. Like I was so anxious that something was going to be wrong with him, or he wouldn't survive. Or people were like, no, you know, this is a new life. God wouldn't do that to you after everything you've been. And I'm just, you know, you don't know. No, you don't know what's going to happen. And that wasn't like me before. So I started to worry a lot more, be more frightened, kind of expect the worst case scenario a lot. You know, of course, became more sad, depressed. But, you know, my son was born, and being a new mom is difficult, but I loved my baby, right? But my husband, he did not do well with any of it. I mean, none of us did, but my mother-in-law and I got a lot of help. We went to therapy. We went to group therapy. We went to like a support group for victims, and my husband would not.
That was his sister and father.
He didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
He really internalized it. He kind of spiraled, you know, and our marriage fell apart. And then we ended up getting divorced. And I don't know how to explain like that. Over the next 10 years, my life went to hell. I really do think you attract things with your thoughts. I do believe that, because I started to like feel like a victim. I felt like I expected bad things. When you keep thinking that's going to happen, eventually it's there. It's there. You know, just strange situations and people, and just I started to feel like more and more victim, and like, oh, poor me. And the more I felt like that, the worse things got. You know, it's like almost like my life became like a soap opera. People would joke, oh, I had a real Sylvia day today and stuff.
Cause oh, like, no.
just like, you know, like, you know, I'd come across people who are like sick and like twisted and like doing crazy. Like, I'm like, this is unbelievable. Can you believe this? You know, I'd be talking about it. And the more I talk about stuff like that, the more it kept happening. I was like stalked by a boyfriend, just like terrible things all the time, you know. Before I had my NDE, I had met someone else. I was engaged. And then I had gotten sick. So I had stage 4 endometriosis. I was in a lot of physical pain, but like a lot of emotional pain too. My fiance at the time, when I was sick a lot that last year, I was in and out of the hospital. I'd missed a lot of work, and I ended up getting fired. You know, like I said, there was drama. So I do understand, like, he's like, oh, this was too much drama for me. I do understand that. I was in the hospital last time before my NDE. He had just like packed up and left and said he couldn't handle it. So I had no job. My fiance left me. I was like in so much pain, emotional and physical. I was like in real despair. If it hadn't been for my son, if it wasn't for him, I don't know what would have happened, you know, because I like wanted to give up.
Go ahead. So you had a husband, right?
Yes.
And that was divorced. Okay. And so then you had started seeing somebody else, and then you were engaged.
Yes.
And then he was like, okay, this is too much drama. And then he took off.
Correct.
Okay, I was just trying to make sure I was keeping up.
So, So after the murders, I had stayed married for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I met someone else. And then in 2016 is when my NDE happened. That last year, so in 2016, the endometriosis was so bad, like I couldn't function. Endometriosis is like a disease where the uterine lining grows inside the rest of your body, like mostly the abdomen, but on top of your organs. And so when you get your menses, that sheds. So the pain is incredible because like that's shedding in your whole body.
Yeah, I thought that it was just on the outside of the uterus. I didn't realize it grows
in your abdomen, grow in your bladder, grow in your rectum. No. It's been found in other places of the body too. So mine was really bad. It was stage 4. I had internal scarring, like I had organs that were starting to fuse together from the scarring. Of course, you know, like with women and healthcare, I complained for years, for years about pain and just nobody, of course. And I don't want to get into that, but
yeah, you know, that's a whole conversation. Yeah,
that's a whole conversation. But believe me, I wasn't taken seriously until it was like so bad.
Yeah, we usually
So, oh, everyone's period hurts. You know, that's what I got. But I got used to living with the pain and emotional pain. And I ended up going on Lupron. So Lupron is a medication. It's an injection. And it surges your estrogen to where it gets so high, your ovaries actually will shut off. So then it doesn't produce any. And that's supposed to like resolve the endometriosis with no estrogen. It's like chemical menopause, right? But when the initial surge happens, because I had so much endometriosis in my body, I got endometrial cysts, like all inside my abdomen, right?
Cysts?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Filled up. Yeah. So I ended up going to the ER. They didn't know enough about it at the ER. They did a bunch of tests they didn't need to even do. I really just need an ultrasound, but they gave me CT with contrast. I didn't know I'm allergic to contrast dyes, but I have a severe allergy. They infuse it into your entire body. And I went into anaphylactic shock from that. And, you know, it's like in your bloodstream and all your entire body. So I went into shock. They admitted me, of course. And then I was in and out of consciousness for like a week. My organs were shutting down. That's when I had my NDE. I could feel myself slipping and I just thought, well, this is it. This is how I die. And I felt peace, you know, at peace. And then I just like, I don't know what came from, but I was having so much pain in my stomach. And I just remember like feeling like the sludge in my stomach and I pictured it like this dark energy. And I just was thinking like, God, this pain, this emotional, this physical, like this pain has ruined my life. Like before the murders, I'm going to tell you, like I was a real happy person. I had, you know, my in-laws were pastors, I had a wonderful, loving family. My marriage was great. I had a good job. I had lots of friends. I was like really happy, you know? And I just remember thinking like, my God, what happened to my life? The pain has just ruined me and like just caused this, I think it's just like trauma. You just like have a skewed perception of the world. It's like a filter. You're viewing everything through the trauma. Do you know what I mean? I just remember thinking, like, God, I've ruined my life with all this pain. And I just pictured this darkness in my stomach. And I remember like pushing, I'm like, just want it out. I just want it gone. I imagine pushing it up and out of like, I don't know if that's your heart chakra. I don't really like know much about that stuff. But I just like felt like I pushed it out of my heart and I almost like heard a pop. I don't know how to explain it. Like just everything came rushing out and I suddenly felt like full of love. I felt like really warm, and I just started like picturing me and my ex-husband and how happy we were and how wonderful our marriage was. And a lot had happened before the divorce. He didn't cope well and did some things that, you know, were difficult to forgive. And I just remember forgiving him, just like sending love to him and wanting him to be happy and like forgiving him because I know how hurt he was. And I just like sent him love. And then same with my ex-fiance. I remember thinking like, oh, he's just kind of like a big baby. You just let him go, let him be happy. And if he wants to go to move in with his mom and play video games, just be happy, whatever makes you happy. And I just like forgave. I remember like just feeling at peace and wanting everyone to be happy, forgiving everyone, and sort of just like regretting that I wasted so much time, you know, being hurt and sad and mad at everyone and
holding on to all the trauma.
Yeah, and just angry. I was angry at life. I felt like life was unfair. I felt betrayed. I was angry. I resented life, you know? And so I kind of just let it all go. And this is what I remember, because I know people's NDEs have different experiences. I did see a light. I know people talk about having a choice going or not. I didn't remember a choice. I just remember a light and just being pulled. All of a sudden, I felt hands on my shoulders, and it was my sister-in-law. She just hugged me, and she was saying stuff like, oh, my God. We have been so worried about you. I just remember the first thing she said to me, we've been so worried about you. And she said, we've been waiting for one of you guys to open your hearts because your hearts have been closed. And there's my father-in-law. They just look so happy. And here's like my whole time I'm thinking like they were robbed, they were cheated, they're angry, and they look so happy. They said, your hearts have been closed. And they told me that I am destroying my life with my negative thoughts. And they said, you're always talking about your traumas and everything bad that happens. And your thoughts are so negative. Your vibration got so low. And she talked about that when the murders first happened, they had been like very close and interacting with us. At my wedding, I had released butterflies, and my sister-in-law was standing up to the wedding. She loved that. She kept the cages, and that was her plan. She like wanted to do it at her wedding. She kept the kit. Then she died, and so we released butterflies at the gravesite. Okay, so we go through, we used to have the whole service, and then we go back for the reception, and we're like there for a while. My husband at the time, he took off his jacket and hung it up. A butterfly like had been sitting in there for like an hour and a half and just like flew out. First it stayed by him for a while, and then it just like flew around the whole place, and it was so beautiful. You know, my NDE, she's saying, she's like, that was me. And I'm like, I knew it was you. Other times she was like, remember when you were praying when your son was having that surgery and that butterfly landed on your shoulder? That was me. When my son was a baby and he was in his crib, I could hear him on the baby monitor, like talking to someone. And he's saying, yes, no, I like trains. And he's like talking to someone. And I woke up and I just didn't think much of it because he would babble in his crib, you know. He talked like really young. He was like really verbal young. So I was like still nursing him. And I went to like, you know, nurse him like half asleep. And all of a sudden he sits up and he points at the corner and he's like, bye-bye, bye. And I'm like, who are you talking to? And he goes, that man. You know, I never saw anything, but I guess I described it like a lightning bug, but I guess that's like what they call an orb, you know? And I scream, I turn on all the lights, and my husband at the time like thought I was crazy. And they said to me that my father-in-law was like, that was me, you know? Yeah, so we were talking about trains and, you know, and I'm crying and I'm just so happy to see them. And
What did the environment look like? Like at this point, were you aware
Yeah.
that you were out of your body or?
I did. I knew that I was out of my body. So, like, I don't think I went all the way to heaven, honestly. I don't think I went as far as you can go. I think I was on the way in the in-between or something.
Lately, I have been talking to a lot of people who have explained certain distinctions between, I guess, like levels of dimensions or realms.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me
With.
because I felt like I'm in a realm, but I felt like there's more. Because when I asked about God, I said, well, is there a God? And then I heard this like booming voice, and it said, I'm here. I'm always here. But it wasn't like that close, it was still like far. And I got scared, and she said to me, she's like, we're all part of God. And I never heard this stuff. That's why it's so crazy to me, because I thought when I woke up from this, I thought I learned all brand new information. You know, I live in the Midwest, was raised in the church. I don't hear the spiritual vibration and just like that you were all one. And I didn't know any of that, right? Until this happened. And then to find out, like, this is not like just my imagination. Like, other people know this stuff, you know? She said to me, God is the infinite intelligence, God is love, God is energy, and God makes up everything. And she was explaining to me, like, we're all energy, the universe is energy, that our reality is low vibrational in general, it's like condensed energy. I had lost all hope, just any positive thoughts in my life, and I felt so in despair. I don't know how to explain it. I was completely, I guess, you know, like she was saying, I was just in a very low vibration. And she said to me that they, our loved ones, our guides, our angels, whatever you want to call it, they cannot interact with us if our vibration is so low. That they are at a high vibration, and that our world in general is at a lower vibration, and that we, if we want to sense them, hear them, interact with them, we have to have a high vibration or we can't. So she said that she couldn't reach any of me, my husband, or my mother-in-law. She's like, we can't reach you guys. You guys' hearts have been closed. We've been waiting for one of you to open your hearts. And she was saying, like, especially when you close your heart to guard it from any more pain, but you're really cutting yourself off from, you know, just the loving vibration that comes from, like, you know, the universe. It's just blocked. Not only are you guarding your heart, you're not allowing love to flow through you or into you.
If you're getting any value out of this podcast, please hit that like button and subscribe. Also, if you've enjoyed my content before, or maybe you're new here but you like it, drop a comment and let me know you're here. I would love to get to know my audience. Thank you for listening, and let's get back to the content.
She was saying that we couldn't interact with us because our vibrations have been so low. I used to pray, I'm like, please give me a sign that this is going to get better. Just another something terrible would happen. I really felt alone, you know, just like that there's nothing. She was saying, like, you've been in the darkness. What she called the darkness is like very low vibration. Because I had asked about, like, is there ghosts? Is there demons? She was saying, like, sometimes when traumatic things happen, like an energy is created and it's very, very low vibration, it actually becomes like a low vibrational entity and thinks that it's been alive, but it never has. I know, right? That's like what the evil things are. Isn't that crazy?
I
I
think
know.
that's fascinating.
It's scary, you know? But she said, if you keep your vibration high, they actually can't interact with you. I mean, it's hard to keep your vibration high all the time. I mean, you live in the world and there's other people and you come in contact with, and you know, you got to work and live in this, you know, society with money and working, and you know, things happen. It's hard to be happy all the time. But she's just saying, like, you know, you have to think more positive. She's like, you have to stop talking about all these traumatic things that happen to you. Stop focusing, stop thinking about it. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And, you know, that skews your perception of the world, too. On top of this, you know, I've heard a lot of horrible stories. Oh, my God, some of this stuff. Like, I had people who came from the killing mines in Cambodia and what they, oh, my God, I can't even tell you. Like, you hear this stuff and you just start to think, like, what the hell kind of world is this, you know? And you just, oh, you got to talk about what happened. You got to process it and blah, blah, blah. And she told me, you are not helping anyone by helping people relive their traumas and talking about them. Not that you know, you should ignore it and you need help. Now I recommend like more DBT or acceptance commitment therapy rather than cognitive behavioral therapies, because she's saying, like, the more you're reliving and talking about these traumas with people, you are actually causing them to be in a low vibration and you're not helping them.
Yeah, creating, you know, more of that energy. I have a friend who was just telling me about her experience in therapy. She did it for a little while, you know, and she felt like it wasn't helping her. She said, I just felt like I was just depressed and down all the time because we were just constantly talking about all of this stuff from my past. She said she like quit doing therapy. And after she was done, she felt like a whole new person. She's
better,
like,
right?
Not depressed anymore and not carrying around all that heavy energy. I mean, I know that there's a certain element that's important. Like, it's important to acknowledge and to face what we experienced, to sit with that, to integrate it, to wrap an understanding around it so that you can move forward rather than push it away. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to add
right.
to the negative energy.
No, it doesn't, like, help.
There's definitely an element of integration that's necessary.
Healing.
Yeah. I don't want to discourage people from facing their traumas. However,
no, but there's
dwelling in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's different kinds of therapies. You know, cognitive behavioral therapy is not the only one out there. There's, you know, EMDR, which is good for, like, you have more like one or two traumas, but
actually
there's different. Go ahead.
EMDR, that's the sensory stimulation,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's what she switched to.
Oh, yeah.
After she quit therapy, and she said she felt like that helped her way quicker and more efficient than the like months of therapy that she experienced beforehand.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that looks like, that type of therapy?
EMDR. So traumas are filed in a different part of the brain than the rest of your memories. That's why you get intrusive thoughts because of the adrenaline and the chemicals that are going on during a traumatic event. It's actually stored in a different part of the brain. So with EMDR, it actually refiles the memories into like where it belongs. So yeah, it's like tapping.
The vibrating paddles.
Yeah. And there's different approaches to that. But I recommend those therapies. When you talk about things, you are actually putting out that energy into the world. And there is like this magnet. Here's what I thought. Like, I'm a good person. Like, I don't hurt other people. I try to, you know, be kind to people. But yet all this terrible stuff would happen, you know. And I just thought the world is unfair and, you know, I'm cursed and I wasn't meant to be happy and all this stuff. And the more you change your story like that, the more you attract of that. People who've been unfortunately sexually traumatized when they're younger, you know, I couldn't understand, like, after years of doing my job, why are they repeatedly sexually traumatized? It usually doesn't happen just once. It happens again and again in their life. I just couldn't understand, like, why, you know, like, why does that, you know, happen five times to one person? You do have to face the trauma because it's there. It's going to be there even if you ignore it. But, you know, getting the right kind of treatment can help stop the cycle of it. It really can. I do recommend, you know, the other kinds of therapies now. And so she told me that. And then she said to me that because I felt very victim and I felt very sorry for myself and I felt this is unfair. Like my life has been in the newspapers and they made a movie out of these murders and like this is chaos and craziness. And this was became my story to myself. And so it just kept fulfilling like that, you know? So she's told me, like, you know, you've got to keep your heart open to raise your vibration. You have to try to think more positive. And that's easier said than done after years and years of thinking negative, because you do get intrusive thoughts or memories and stuff. But it took practice. I would like catch myself, you know, like, why are you thinking about that? And I would like try to switch to like a happy memory or just a staying in the moment of what I'm doing rather than, you know, thinking. There was like for a while, I practiced just only mindfulness and trying not to think because it was so habitual to think negative. So there was a time where like, I just thought, what am I doing next? Just brush your teeth and get out the door. Just focus. You're just washing the dishes. Stop thinking.
Stay in the moment.
Yeah. It took time to do that. And then I had to even like pretend I was happy. Like I'm even playing a part in a movie for a little while. I just like pretended like someone was watching that I didn't
like.
Fake
it till you make
yeah,
it.
I was faking it. But then it stopped the momentum of whatever I was attracting, I think, because things just like calmed down. They were normal. And then like, it just became like, I just felt happier and I felt lighter and I felt more in the moment. And it took time, but things did change, you know? So I'm sorry, I'll just go back to that and to finish that up. So when she talked to me about how involved I was in politics, like, oh, you guys are wrong and we're right and this and that. And she said, you know, you're spending way too much time on that because neither one of you guys is right. You don't have the answer. They don't have the answer. There's a higher answer and you guys are both way off. And she said, you're wasting so much time and energy. And then you're like angry at them and just putting out negative vibes. And then she also talked to me. So I felt like I was coming across people who are like bullies and mean and angry and kind of trying to control me. And you're looking at it all wrong. People who are like quiet and introverted, when they're upset, they tend to withdraw. Where people who are like more angry and controlling, like that's their go-to in their stress is to control people in their environment. When someone that they care about withdraws, they get worse. And she's like, you need to change the vibe. Look at them like they're like injured, they're hurt, and just come from a loving place. Really, like everything she said and told me during my NDE, it's all correct because I have a few family members, you know, who are like that. Someone, a close family member who drives me crazy is really like that. And when I can, sometimes, you know, it's a reaction, but when I can stop, like go like this and tap and like just try to like send out love through my heart towards the person. Wow. And like, and I think about it. And then I just like think of them sometimes like as a little kid or something who are hurt little inner child or something. The way I come at it is different. And the whole momentum and the whole relationship has changed. And I end up getting like what I want and everyone's happy rather than doing this like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. This was just later, but I had a dream. She came to me in a dream. I had the router in the baby's room and she came to me and she said, take that router out of the baby's room. It's bad for his brain. Okay. So, you know, there's something to do with like energy and frequency. I don't understand all of it, but I'll tell you after my NDE, my life has just completely changed. It took time, but so much time now has passed. So that was 2016 and now it's 2024. I have everything I want. I can't explain to you. I have my kids, everyone's happy. I have money. I have a job. I was having like a hard time at work a lot with like the people I worked with my bosses. I have like such a great environment now with my work, and it's like going really well. And I can't remember the last time something crazy or traumatic has happened. I'm not saying it's not going to, because that's life, but it's not like it was before, where like every day there was, I don't know, there's just some kind of drama going on, and it's just been like really calm. And I try really hard to keep my vibration high. Of course, you know, it's not always possible, but I'm more conscious of it and what I'm thinking and putting out there, and the way that I treat people and the way that I view my life and myself. Like, even when something hard is going on, I had a job where they were like giving me too much responsibility. And I would think to myself, instead of like, oh, poor me, like I was thinking for a while, I just thought, you know what, this is not about me. They're for themselves. They're just, you know, doing what works for them. I just did my best, and I didn't spin it, oh, my poor life, you know? I just thought like, this is hard, but I'm going to get through this. And just my whole life has changed. And now, like when I'm praying or thinking or asking for guidance, I get it. I feel it. You know, I'll be outside. Yeah, a butterfly will fly by, or a little bird lands and just staring at me. I just felt like someone's here. Someone's here telling me. I'm like, just show me a sign that I'm doing the right thing. I get it now, where I wasn't for such a long time. I had a job at this place called Yellow Brick, and I was thinking about leaving it. And I remember driving and praying and like talking to the universe and saying, just show me a sign if I should leave this job. And it was like Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, like this huge sign. It said, Farewell Yellow Brick. I'm like, oh my God, like I was begging for that kind of stuff for so long. You know, she was telling me they couldn't show me signs. I couldn't get them because my vibe was so low. So that's the main thing I got out of my NDE. She took me to see all my relatives that I had passed. So
Oh.
I saw my grandparents that I had never met. Dad's parents had died before I was born, and they didn't look old. They were like, you know, middle age. They were hugging me and kissing me. And mind you, like nobody's moving their mouth. I could hear them in my head, is how I can explain it. My grandparents are saying, oh, we've been looking after you since you were born. And my one grandmother's name was Kashmira. My dad never talked about them because they died in Poland before I was born. He just would say, your grandma, if you ever mention them, you know. I asked later, and you know, that's her name. It's crazy to me. And so we're just like hugging and kissing, and I'm crying. And I felt like so loved, like all, I got all these people on my side. They were like telling me what I need to do to be happy in my life. And I said, so I'm not staying here, am I? No, like you're talking like I'm going back. She's like, no, you have to go back. Your son needs you. I know I don't want to leave him without a mother. He needs me. She said to me, you're going to have another baby. Like, how old was I? 41 at the time. And I had that endometriosis scarring. I can't have any more kids. And she's like, there's a baby that wants to be yours, and you're going to have another baby. And I'm just like, okay. Like, I didn't, there was just so much going on. I didn't like focus on that too much. I'm like, okay. She's like, it's time for you to go back. And it was the same thing, like that light or whatever. It was like just in reverse. And for me, it happened fast. And I was back in my body, and then I felt the pain again. But I think I realized it right away, you know, that what had happened, you know, I was still recovering that week. But when after the experience, after I got out of the hospital, I tried to like tell people about it, and nobody wanted to listen to me. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, well, you know, you were on a lot of pain meds. You know, they just like thought I'm crazy, right? And nobody wanted to listen to me, so I just stopped talking about it. But about 6 months later, I got pregnant in January of 2017,
How old were
and
you?
I just turned 42. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, when they did the ultrasound, I have like a picture of an ultrasound from before. You can see that it's like, there's just like no room for a baby in there. There's just like a big mesh, you know, like a spider webs in there. When they took the ultrasound, I mean, there was like a healing because it was just smooth in there. And there's just like, no way. Yeah. They're just like, we can't explain it. They're like, it's a miracle. I'm like, well, this is meant to be, right? This is what she said. And I've never had a problem with endometriosis since, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I had my son, and he's the light of my world. And, you know, my older son, they love each other so much. And my little guy, he would talk, and he still just like not that long ago said to me, he said, I love you so much. I should have picked you for my mom every time.
I love it when children say stuff like
I
that.
know. Like he was 3 or 4. He's like, you know, this is all a dream. This is not where we come from. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know, he's like, this is a dream.
You're like,
You
I do
know?
know. I
Yeah.
do know.
And then he said to me, another time he said to me, like, I want to go home. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's my other home. I'm like, you are home, you know? And he's like, no, the home we all come from. And he has talked about like being in heaven, and he's talked about picking us, and talked about wanting my son to be his big brother because he thought it's going to be so much fun. And he doesn't remember all of that now, but sometimes he'll still say stuff. I don't know all of the answers. Like, I know I've heard other NDEs where people like have gone to, yeah, different realms, and they've had soul contracts and all of that. I didn't get to that part. But here's the thing is, I know people talk about everything being predetermined, and they didn't say anything like that to me. They said to me that if I change my vibration, I can change my experience here. Maybe certain events are predetermined, but not your whole life is not. Because I'll tell you that what they told me is true. Like, I feel safe now, and I didn't feel safe for such a long time. I got a big dog now too, which helps me to feel safe. He's got a really aggressive bark, but I feel so safe all the time. And I'm not saying like bad things can't happen, but I don't expect them. And so they're not happening. And like I expect miracles, or I expect good things to happen, and they do. From my NDE, that's what I learned is about vibration. She talked a lot about darkness and light, and that I lived in the darkness. And when I asked about the murderer, I said, aren't you mad at him? And she's like, what? And I'm like, you know, the guy who murdered you, aren't you mad? And my father-in-law, they're like, why would we be mad? He lives in the darkness. He tortures himself. And they showed me this light, and they said, this is your time on earth. And it was just like this light. And then they said, all of a sudden the light got so big from end to end that I couldn't see. And she said, this is how long you exist. You've always been, you always will be, and that this time on earth is just a small part of your existence. And she said, we're eternal.
I have received, I guess, the same vision. I was greatly distressed over something. The visual that just came into my mind was exactly what you just described. It was like the timeline. I was shown this short little tiny piece, you know, of what this experience is on Earth right now versus the entirety of it. And it blew my mind. So, like, I had that exact same. Like vision of understanding come to
I'm so glad because nobody I know,
me.
nobody, my mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, but you know, we're still close. She is with me. She's like the only one who like believes me, or you know, is or talks about vibration. And I don't really know too many people who do. It's almost like want to move to the East or West Coast. I can like meet more people who know about this stuff.
It's very validating. When you were talking about the miracle getting pregnant with my second child, I was sitting here crying because that part of your story touches my heart. It's wild because literally my existence is the result of a similar miracle. Yeah, because my mom was told for years that she wouldn't be able to have another child, but she knew deep down that she was going to, and she did, you know. And my brother, he's 8 years older than me, and so they tried for 6 years to have me. They would always pray together as a family, my mom, my dad, and my brother, for a baby, specifically sister. When my mom was just so tired of the miscarriages and so tired of trying and failing, she wanted to give up and she wanted to stop praying for me. And my brother didn't let them stop. I have a very, very strong and deep connection and relationship with my brother. But my mom had endometriosis as well. And I've actually recently been diagnosed with it too.
Oh, dear.
Like, I'm 30 years old. I've had to wrap my mind around the idea of potentially never having children while simultaneously having a desire in my heart to experience motherhood. Stories like yours and mine give us so much hope. Doctors said my mom couldn't have children.
I
Your
know.
ultrasound said you couldn't have more children. And yet I exist. And yet you had another child. That makes me feel better.
And there are treatments for it too, you know.
I
I
don't
mean,
even
there
feel like
are.
for me it's that bad. Maybe like a hormonal imbalance. Like it's whatever stage, it's like the first one. And I think that a lot of what created the degree of experience, stage four is what you said, of endometriosis. A lot of that I think has to do with the trauma that you're carrying,
I
and that
know.
manifested as,
It
like you had
did.
explained, like that dark shadow that you had in your body and being able to release that, you know? So I feel like I'm actually consciously in the process of already releasing that dark shadow. I honestly don't feel at all like it's getting any worse. If anything, I should probably go back and I wouldn't be surprised if it was gone. Regardless of the magnitude, the reality, you know, of a diagnosis, something to that extent, is heavy and it's thought-provoking. So as much hope as I have, you know, as much faith that I have that this isn't going to hinder my life experience because of these stories, because of the fact that I exist when doctors said that I shouldn't. I am not afraid. I'm not carrying around any sense of dread or hopelessness or fear that I'm not going to have an experience that my soul craves. But at the same time, I think that being able to detach from that fear and that dread is ultimately accepting what is, regardless of what that looks like. So I had to kind of let go of that desire to have that experience and just trust that whatever will be, and I'm going to make the best of it either way.
Since my NDE, and I've been like, when you think about what you don't want so much, you actually attract that to your life. When you think more about what you do want, you attract that. If I think so much, oh God, I don't want to never have a child. Hope that never happened. I hope, you know. And if you think too much about it, it will like comes to you.
Energy, it's like attracts like. It doesn't know the distinction between you saying you don't want it. It's what you're thinking about, whether your lens is positive or negative, you're attracting what you're focused on.
It's true though. It's true. And I used to get mad because people would say stuff to me, something to that effect. And I would get mad. I'm like, this is not my fault. I didn't do anything to make this happen. Like I felt like they're blaming me. So I like didn't want to hear that. But it's true. It like I had a number of people I dated stalk me. And it's not something about me that it's that vibe I put out or something. Like I attracted it by thinking about it too much, I swear. I even like went to a therapist because people are say were saying to me, well, you must be doing something to lead them on. You must be. And then I've like felt like mad. I'm like, I'm not though. I swear. So I like show her texts, like, look what I said. And I'm like, did I say something wrong? Did I lead him on? And she's like, no. And like I really think I was putting out a victim vibe. And kind of like attracting perpetrators. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so hard to change your the way that you think about yourself. And I couldn't flip from like, all this negative thinking and this story I told about myself to like, oh, my life is wonderful now. And I just started with not thinking. And it is hard. I think people are different. There's people they say that see in pictures, and there's people who have a running dialogue. I think a lot because I get bored with the mundane. Like I'm always thinking something else than the boring stuff I'm doing. But you know, your thoughts can wander. So I really just stop. I would have to sometimes catch myself like, you're doing it again. Stop. Why are you thinking about that? That's done. That's over. That's 10 years ago. Stop thinking about that. And I would just like turn on music, happy music. And I just like wash the dishes. I play with my kid. I focus on how much I love the dog and play with the dog. I go for a walk in nature and look at the sun and the flowers. And I wouldn't think for a while. And it sort of just slowly changed the vibration.
What this reminds me of, there's this amazing Headspace animation that's on YouTube about reconditioning the mind. And I send it to all of my friends. There's this character, and the character is just walking along. There's a hole in the ground, and they have like headphones, and they're not paying attention, right? They walk straight into the hole, and they just fall to the bottom. And then it just keeps happening over and over. You get to the bottom of that hole again, and you're just like, hold on, why does this keep happening? The next time is the person walking. It's kind of like they hover over the hole for a second, like a Looney Tunes cartoon where they're like, oh, shoot. And they look down and then they fall. Sometimes you'll notice it in the moment of falling into the hole again, you know,
right.
And you'll probably consciously end up falling in the hole a couple times. But then it gets to the point where the character sees the hole and chooses to step around it. That is the first step, is really just seeing the issue. And a lot of times seeing it comes after the mistake.
Right.
But then you start to notice it earlier. You know, you notice it after the mistake, and then you notice it during the mistake, and then you notice it at the beginning of the mistake, and then you notice it beforehand. And it's once you can recognize beforehand with a conscious focus, and then choose to have a response instead of a reaction, that ultimately is what creates that reconditioning.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to link that in the description box below the video.
I don't know if I would have, without the NDE, if I would have ever figured this out. To God, I just don't know. I don't know that I would have heard it. Do you know what I mean? Even if someone explained it to me, I didn't feel like I had power to change what was happening because I felt like it was all outside of me and happening to me.
You didn't realize that you were actually a co-creator with God for your own
exactly,
life.
Exactly. I didn't realize that. But I also, like, I didn't realize I had any power to change it. And I feel like, how do I say, like I have my like power back, like I have some control, you know, of course, you know, things happen. You don't always know what's going to happen, but I feel like, I don't feel like this victim flowing through life, like reacting to everything that happens. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if something does happen that I don't like, I take that and I look at it different now. I don't go down the hole, like you said. I don't spin out. Go, oh, what am I going to do? Why does this always happen to me? And, you know, my life is so unfair. It's been so hard. And now this. And I don't go there anymore. Now I just think, well, this isn't the hardest thing you've been through. You can do what you have to do. And there's something about, yeah, being a mother. Sometimes when things are tough, I feel like I'm the lioness and these are my cubs. And I have to do what I have to do to take care of my kids. I pull it together and I'm just like, don't think or despair. I don't get so emotional. Before, like separating myself from my emotions was impossible. I would just get overwhelmed by my emotions to where I couldn't function. And now like I can separate from my emotions. oh, this kind of sucks, this hurts, but you know, I can still do all of these things and not let it, how do I say, affect that my ability to function. I feel like I'm just experiencing this emotion that will pass. Whereas like before I felt
like I was all consuming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now you're experiencing the capacity to observe your emotion and consciously sit with it and integrate it versus allowing it to cause you to react rather than respond.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. Now I'm just thinking of like this one situation where I was at a job and I know it had something to do with because I had a newborn and I was feeling overwhelmed. And then they just were, I think some people like can manifest in a powerful way, either negative or positive, right? I was feeling like overwhelmed and kind of out of control. And then it was just getting worse. And I'm like, okay, this is happening again. I wouldn't let myself feel overwhelmed. I did mindfulness, like, okay, I have a lot to do. I'm just going to do one thing, one thing. And I didn't think about, oh, those assholes, they're trying to make me do all this because they think I'm, you know, I'm not going to quit because I'm, you know, have a newborn, you know, whatever. So I stop like spinning it into a story that's not even like real. You know what I mean? I just did what I had to do. I like prayed for finding a different job that was like, you know, where I'd have more flexibility and, you know, have more life balance. I did find it. And I didn't, again, feel victimized. I refused. I'm like, you know what? This is just what it is. You've been through hard stuff before. You can do this. You're just going to move on. And I did, you know.
And I think that's an excellent takeaway, is that what you resist persists.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I can't remember who says that, but.
Exactly. Yes. The more resistance. Yeah. Right. Right. Because you're pushing against. Mm-hmm. You're pushing mm-hmm. against, and it's kind of like you're at odds, right? Mm-hmm. With the universe. Instead of just like going with it and then just going to the next thing, it's like you get stuck, you know, mm-hmm. pushing. Yeah. No, makes sense. But. Yeah. So anyways, that was my experience with my NDE. And gosh, I can't even wait to like, I know, not that I'm like in a hurry to die, but I can't wait to like see my loved ones again, you know, and just, you know, there's no pain there. You're free. It's just like peace. Liberating. And yeah.
Liberating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just the love. I have to say that, you know, when I had my second child, I remember like rocking him and looking at his face and just holding him and just thinking like, just so full of love. And this is bliss. You know, this is what bliss feels like. And that's what it felt like when I was in my NDE, just this overwhelming feeling of warm love. Gosh, it was such a relief from like that pain and loneliness and suffering to that feeling. And then after my NDE and that, you know, I got out of the hospital, oh God, it was so long since I had felt like everything's going to be okay. It was such a relief to not have that fear and anxiety. Like I must have had like knots in my stomach for like a decade, you know, just like from the endometriosis, but just anxiety or something. Because when it was gone, like you could just feel like the muscles were like, to not have that anxiety or knots in your stomach. It just felt so wonderful. And I just felt like, okay, now this is where my life begins again.
Amen. Wow. What an amazing experience.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time today to share it with me and my audience.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. If you loved this episode, please consider leaving a review.
If you're listening on YouTube, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe so we don't lose each other. And just share the link with somebody who can appreciate this message.
Blessings to you all, and I hope to catch you on my next episode.